It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we take a trip to outer space and learn about the images of Jupiter and the universe that the James Webb Space Telescope has shared so far. First, the number of local newspapers in the U.S. continues to shrink, and there have been big staffing cuts at many of the remaining outlets. A study conducted by Northwestern University found that more than 360 papers have shut down since 2019, in some cases creating areas without local coverage that are being called news deserts. Earlier this month, the media company Gannett laid off dozens of newspaper employees around the country, including outlets here in Wisconsin. What does this decline in local news coverage mean for political, economic, and social issues in our communities? You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you seen local news coverage change in your area? Has your community lost a paper? Do you subscribe to an actual physical paper or it's descended in website form? Call it at 800-642-1234. Do you think local issues in your community get the coverage they need and deserve? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. You could also email ideas@wpr.org. Kathleen Bartson-Culver is the James E. Burgess Chair in Journalism Ethics, Associate Professor in the UW-Madison School of Journalism, and Director of the Center for Journalism Ethics. Katie, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much. I always love being here.
As I lay out some of those numbers, it seems pretty bleak. Are you seeing this as a area of concern, a crisis maybe even when it comes to local news coverage?
Oh, it's a massive area of concern. For those of us who value staying informed within our communities and, to be honest, staying connected with other people in our communities, losing neutral news outlets is a big threat to all of us, and we should all be worried about it.
Now, I mentioned those layoffs at Gannett, the chain that owns lots of newspapers around the country, including many around Wisconsin, wasn't making a lot of money, they said. So this round of layoffs came about. Why do you think a chain like Gannett and other chains like it are having some financial difficulties and also resorting to layoffs?
Oh, there are a lot of problems that they've been facing for a little over two decades. One of them, the loss of classified advertising revenue, which most people don't understand, was really an important part of, it was an important leg of the revenue stool for local newspapers. So when things like Craigslist or job postings on Monster.com came online in the late 90s and early 2000s, it just ate that revenue stream alive for local news outlets. And then the other thing is that advertising revenue for display advertising, so car dealerships and restaurants, is also massively down over that same period. So those are real difficulties. Just in the last year, newsprint costs are up by close to a third for those outlets. So it's just, you know, they just keep getting hit from all sides. The one cost that hasn't gone up is labor costs. Labor costs for the journalism. You know, it's not like we've been seeing massive pay increases or that journalists are, you know, particularly well paid. A lot of them are doing it as a public service. But also outlets like Gannett or organizations like Gannett have found real difficulty in delivering newspapers. They can't get labor, particularly throughout the COVID crisis and following, to deliver papers to people's homes. So that's a problem as well. They're just getting hit from all directions.
We're seeing some of these chains get bought out or merged with other chains, and private equity firms getting in on the game, trying to buy outlets like Lee Enterprises, which includes the Wisconsin State Journal and La Crosse Tribune, among others. How important is the emergence of private equity in the newspaper business? How big a deal has that been?
It's a huge deal, and it's a scary deal. You know, Lee has fought back against being acquired by private equity. You've seen journalists flee organizations that were similarly acquired. I think there are strong arguments that the Chicago Tribune, for instance, has been perhaps irreparably damaged by its private equity owners. So, you know, Gannett, as hard as this, you know, they reported about a $50 million loss in the last quarter, and then that's what resulted in the layoffs. They're a publicly traded company that gives us an eye into their financials that we don't get in the way these other organizations are held. So private equity is something to keep an eye on. If it comes to your town, I would be worried.
Now, we've got a few haves in the national press. We got the New York Times, Washington Post, and Wall Street Journal seem to be doing pretty well. Always seem to be adding staff. What is it that's driving what looks like success in these national newspaper outlets as compared to the local ones we're talking about?
So the national outlets have managed to make the Post and the Times are a little bit more alike than the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal can command subscription rates that other outlets cannot command just because of the specialized nature of their content and the fact that it's often businesses that are paying for the subscriptions rather than individuals. So if you're working on Wall Street, you know, your hedge fund is paying for you to get that subscription. But those large outlets have not fared as poorly with the loss of display advertising. So they generally have a lot of support from luxury brands, and luxury brands haven't suffered as much. So while your local jeweler may no longer be able to afford an ad in the Wisconsin State Journal, Tiffany can still run an ad in the New York Times. They also have done better at scoring revenue from digital. They've made a stronger conversion to like a digital first strategy, and people have been showing up, and their subscription revenue from digital is doing quite well. In the case of Washington Post, getting acquired by Jeff Bezos gives you quite a nice cushion as well.
Talking to Katie Culver, UW-Madison journalism professor, looking at more declines in local newspapers, the print and web versions of them, affecting Wisconsin, affecting the whole country, cuts in journalism staff, sometimes reductions in service, sometimes full-on closures. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on this, your questions for our guest. Maybe your experiences in your own community. Are you seeing less local media coverage where you are? What does it mean to you? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Katie, what does a local community lose when it loses a newspaper outright or sees it, you know, kind of hollowed out?
Well, some research shows us that what it loses is a sense of each other as people, and that polarization increases. So when you lose local news, news becomes nationalized. People pay more attention to national outlets, the national networks, the Times, the AP, USA Today, which is also a Gannett property. And when we're thinking about things on that national scale, we tend to move more toward our poles. So we move further apart than when we're paying attention to coverage of the local soccer team and coverage of the new cupcakery on Main Street. Those are the things that bring us together as people, because they're not just about left and right and you know, arguments over, you know, policy, over taxes, over that sort of thing. So, you know, there is a strong concern for me and plenty of other people that the loss of local news results in nationalization, and that amps up polarization. And that's really, really difficult. The other thing I would say is when we lose those watchdogs in our community, it allows powerful institutions to get away with some things that they ought not get away with. You know, sadly for Gannett, they had a, you know, there's really, we've all lost sight of the tremendous local journalism that's been going on because we're all paying attention to these layoffs. You know, there's a pretty good argument that none of us would have known about the police delays at the horrible mass shooting in Uvalde if it hadn't been for a local newspaper asking really difficult questions about why it took so long. You had law enforcement officials not telling truths about that situation to their community, and journalists demanding those truths. So, you know, there's so much important work that goes on the ground. Trust me when I say, as much as people in journalism can make mistakes, we're all human. We are not enemies of the people. We're trying to protect the interests of our communities and keep other institutions accountable.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Margo is with us in Menominee. Margo, what did you want to share with us?
Hi, I'm a former newspaper editor, and I'm retired now, age 66. And guess what I was just doing at the library? I was writing a frequently asked questions list for our national health care referendum that will be voted on November 8th in Dunn County, Wisconsin. So we've just, you know, as journalists, as truth seekers, we've got to continue. We are fighting for our democracy right now.
Margo, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. Katie.
I really appreciate that, Margo, and please keep doing that. Libraries, I think, are community centers that are, just growing ever more important as ways for us to see each other. A few weeks ago, got a message from a group of citizens who do not have past careers in journalism, but are so concerned about what's going on with they live in what has become a news desert, and they wanted to know how they could fund a journalist, how they could bring someone into their community to keep an eye on the county board and the city council and local business. So people like you do make me optimistic. I think people like me and others need to supply resources for citizens who are concerned that they're living in a place with no local news and they want to contribute to it. You don't have to be in a Gannett newsroom to be sharing important, verified information in your community. A lot of that happens on Nextdoor, Facebook groups, and, really honestly, at the local coffee shop. My dad got a lot of his verified news at a barbershop. So I think citizens caring about having verifiable information to base their decisions on is critically important. And I congratulate Margo and these other folks for their efforts.
Thanks for that call, Margo. We're talking to journalism professor Katie Culver from UW-Madison about the continued decline of local newspapers, the impact it's having in our communities. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Where do you go for local news? Are you able to find it? Are you able to find quality local reporting in your neck of the woods? Do you wish you had more? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. Right now, we're picking up our conversation with Katie Culver, journalism professor at UW-Madison, director of the Center for Journalism Ethics, with us today looking at the decline of local newspapers and the consolidation of news into larger media outlets, and what that means for communities. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How important is local news coverage to you? Did you see a decline of it in recent years in your area? Do you wish you had more of it? Have you worked in local news coverage? What have you seen change over the years? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Katie, do you see promising models out there to fill in that role of the local newspaper, even if it isn't necessarily, a newspaper you can fold over and do the crossword in?
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, Rob, and it's one worth making over and over again, is that, we shouldn't be tied to defending something just because that's the way it's always been. So the model that we've had for a few decades of publicly traded newspaper chains serving communities, maybe that isn't sustainable in the long term. Maybe we need to have other models. Things like public radio, for instance, are incredibly important in serving communities. Is that something that can fill in these news deserts? Are individual community members working to try to serve their neighbors with verified information? There are a couple of efforts that have me more optimistic than pessimistic. One is a group called Report for America, and they seek grant funding to put local news reporters in newsrooms. They support the salary for those reporters. It's kind of a sliding scale downward, so they fully support it the first year, 80% the second, and it goes down from there. And what that does is embed these journalists in these communities with the hopes that the local news organization will keep them on past when the grant runs out. There's also a local news network through ProPublica, which is also an endowed reporting effort that has done just really terrific work. And both of these are doing work in Wisconsin, which is interesting. There are some great sort of startup-minded news outlets in the state. I'm particularly fond of the work of the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, which publishes at wisconsinwatch.org. They are a really interesting group. They have grown in size. They're sort of busting at the seams in their offices because they've done very well in building support for their organization. Their investigative reporting is really making differences in this state. And so those things have me optimistic. Those are models that I would point to.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Jay is with us in Cloquet, Minnesota. That's a new one to me, Jay. Did I say that right?
You did, yeah. I'm actually driving past it, so I might not be there anymore.
Okay. Tell us what did you want to talk about?
I used to work at City Pages, which was the alt weekly for 40 plus years in the Twin Cities. And it was shut down in late 2020. And myself and three of my colleagues there launched our own alt weekly style digital newsroom called Racket about exactly a year ago, with more of a subscription model. And so far, so good. We're without any other kind of path to keep an alt weekly presence in the Twin Cities. We just had to create our own, and our mortgages and rents are paid, and we're kind of bringing that style of journalism back to a market that we felt very much needed it.
Jay, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. I think I've seen that in other communities, Katie. Weeklies, when I gave that number of papers that shut down, many of them were weeklies. But in some cases, alums from those papers, like Jay, are starting up a successor website to them.
Yeah, again, congratulations to Jay. You and Margo have the same positive energy that really makes me smile. I think it's a tremendous service that you're doing. You know, when I talk with students about this, you know, or actually when parents come with their high school seniors to tour the journalism school and they say, do I really want Lindsay to go into this? And I say, look, I really think that this is a gateway to so many opportunities in public communication. Yes, maybe you'll go into a traditional local TV station, but maybe you'll end up doing a video blog for a nonprofit. And all of that is providing information, as long as it's done with ethics, with integrity, and with a commitment to truth telling. That's all an important part of what we need as citizens to make decisions in our lives. What I think the Gannett layoffs illustrate is kind of the nobility of journalism, so it's necessary for democracy, versus the business of news. So the fact that Jay is able to pay his mortgage and make a, you know, decent enough wage to survive on, that's great. He's not trying to wring year-on-year profits out of his new alt-weekly startup. Maybe at some point he'll be like the CEO of Gannett, who's making almost $8 million a year, to be losing $54 million a year for his company. But we need to think about the importance of democracy and the centrality of journalism to that. And that has to be separated away from some of those profit concerns. You know, a lot of people really express empathy and concern about coal miners. They are losing their jobs to a conversion to cleaner energy because of the climate crisis. But it's a little bit hard to count in journalism. It's a little bit hard to count in coal mining. But there's a strong case to be made that we've lost more jobs in journalism than we have in coal mining. And I'd love to see people caring as much about this. And so someone like Jay, whose job went away, he's kind of like a coal miner who then, you know, makes the transition to work in a wind farm or at a solar farm. And that's what's going to happen in journalism. We're going to have new ways of looking at this and doing this.
Thanks a lot for that call. Randy joins us now in Preston, Minnesota. Randy, hi.
Yeah, hi. I listened to a podcast called Congressional Dish, and she's a kind of a nerdy woman who, she has spent a long time listening to congressional hearings and C-SPAN, and then she reports, like, she reads the bills that get passed in Congress, and it's a fascinating look into how our government works. And she brought up a proposal a while ago, and I think it'd be just great. There should be a statewide, each state should have its own congressional dish. People who...
Gotcha. Randy, we don't have too much time left, but I think I get the gist. Katie, can we hope for nerds finding, as Randy was saying, finding markets in states, but even in local governments, where maybe a podcast forum to really bring people into the nuts and bolts of how things work?
Yeah, Randy raises a fantastic point. Podcasts are also part of this, as long as they're dedicated to that truth-telling and they're working with ethics and integrity. But scaling these sorts of operations is what we need, so that, you know, there could be a Congressional Dish Wisconsin Bureau that is tracking what's going on in our state legislature for us. It would be great information to rely on. And if it's delivered with some entertainment and humor, I'm all there for it.
Thanks for that call. I know, Katie, there are efforts out there from, you've mentioned the need for sort of neutral groups to hold governments and others accountable. There are definitely efforts from conservatives to create things that look like local news outlets, some from the left as well. some corporate backed things like that. Are you worried that in the absence of, say, a local newspaper, we might see something less neutral, less reliable weasel in and take its place?
Absolutely. It's happening in every state in this country, and it's terrifying. And again, getting to the point of ethics, I have no problem with folks on the left or on the right trying to persuade people about their policies or their concerns about social issues. That's fine. Go ahead, make your argument, but be transparent about who you are and what you're arguing for and against. Don't try to put something over on local news consumers. You know, I study and teach journalism, and there are times that something will pop up in one of my social media feeds, and I don't have the first clue whether it's reliable or not. And I think that's just a shame what we're doing to our fellow citizens if we're trying to put something over on them. If you have an argument, make your argument and be upfront about where it's coming from.
Katie, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And thanks to the callers. They have a smile on my face.
That's Kathleen Culver, the James E. Burgess Chair in Journalism Ethics, Associate Professor in the UW-Madison School of Journalism, and Director of the Center for Journalism Ethics. She was with us today for a look at the decline of local newspapers in many communities around the state and around the country. If you still have a story to share or just want to let us know what's going on in your community when it comes to actual local coverage, we'd still love to hear it. You can let us know over on the Ideas Network Facebook page or email ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org.